Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
As part of my management training with a subsidiary in Tabards, I'm doing commercial exploitation. Well, I do work in the village shop, £4.95 for a packet of obnobs. Anyway, Dumpty Dum, the documentary they make about me, is looking for a nice new sponsor. 35,000 listeners around the world, heritage English brand, and as many Tabards as you can eat. If you're interested, you can direct message Dumpty Dum on the Twitters. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Sarah Passingham and WizKids, who aim to transform the lives of disabled children by providing the vital equipment, support and life skills they need to reach their full potential. Go to www.wizkids.org.uk to donate today.
Oh, we're in trouble, by the way.
Are we? Why?
Yeah, with my mum.
Oh, that's all right.
She said. She said.
I thought you meant real trouble.
She said last week we were very sweary. And I sounded cross all the time.
Yeah, I was a little bit sweary, but it was, and tell you, Mum.
I said it was nervous tension because we were genuinely fed up last week. You know, everything just felt blooming awful last week, didn't it?
It did. Mm. Sorry, Mrs. Freeman.
Yes. Well, she'll be asleep by now, so she won't even have heard that bit, but anyway.
I'm recording, so I'm going to cut that into the show. This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality lucky drama that's centered on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the healthy soul structure that is Royfield Brown. And with me, I have the windswept mess that is
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of our herbal lay, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dumpty Dum, yet again, you lazy buggers, has come from our vaults. Because Luce, when's the last time we had a fresh new Dumpty Dum? Can you even remember?
Well, the last one was from 1990, but we did get that off the Twitters, didn't we?
Mm. Yeah. But I think the last person who sent one through was our
Bristol.
Vicky Cole.
It was the one, Vicky Cole.
Mm. So we've got this, you know what, I've been talking about our clusters, Lucy, on our tractor map. And it's nice to see that people are still pinning themselves to our map. We've got a cluster in Houston, in Texas, and we've got a cluster in Tampa Bay, Florida.
Ah.
Now, I think, if you're one of our aforementioned clusters, I'm pointing a finger at you and saying, just ring in and just sing or hum a dum-de-dum, please. For next week.
Yeah.
Not just like sometime never. For next week.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, please. Right, moving swiftly on. So we've mentioned dum-de-dums, tractor. We've done dum-de-dum theme music. Right. Oh, yeah. Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody would like to send us a dum-de-dum, how can they do that?
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum, leave us a plot prediction or get advice from WikiHow on how to get bits of lower intestine off the walls of your rental property, then ring us on 0203 031 3105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thanks to Cosmo for his podcast roundups and to Derek, the loan of the back bedroom. Derek is very excited yesterday about the appointment of Mr. Paul Nutter as the new leader of UKIP. Derek is, as you know, the UKIP candidate for Ambridge, and put a suggestions box on the green for what his new slogan could be, based on Mr. Nutter's, which is putting the great back into Britain. He was a little bit disappointed by the responses, as various people wrote things like putting the ball back into Borsetshire, putting the ass into Hassett Hills. But luckily he stopped before he got to the suggestions about the country park.
Yay, stop it. On this week's Dum-de-dum-tastic episode, we have calls from Yokel Bear, who's bored, Christine, who's still globetrotting. Oh, you know what? I'm so glad that she called in.
I know.
I'll tell you what, I'm keeping my tabs on her and her hubby.
I know, it's great, isn't it? Yeah, it's just amazing.
Absolutely fab. I feel like starting a new podcast, just like Christine and her travels. And Witherspoon, who's confused. But first, it's Juicy Lucy Freeman's Week in Ambridge.
We started the week with the cows being in a funny mood. They keep kicking their clusters off. Toby interpreted this as the cows being premenstrual. Of course, if anyone needs a good kick in the clusters, it's Toby. As currently he seems to be using Pip as a sort of a cash machine with a fanny. It was Brian... You're right.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking of all those times when people talk about fanny bags in American. I'm like, what? You have to check yourself. And you go, oh, you mean a bum bag.
It was Brian's birthday. I don't know how old he was, as old as a man needs to be to carry off a cravat. The next step from a cravat is a bow tie, and then you have to be put down for the good of the wider world. Pat and Helen had a jolly afternoon by the fire going over Rob's psychiatric report. Giddy Jack should be exposed to him less, apparently. I'm sure Rob will take that very well. He's bound to. Yes. Well, that's what you get when you get sent by a judge to see a lesbian pinko frigid blue stocking spouting half-baked mumbo jumbo, especially when you go into it with the sort of positive attitude Rob did. Brian is pulling the plug on the herbal lays and the mob grazing. Adam seems to have gone slightly potty, and he's seeing himself as single-handedly saving British soil one worm at a time. He stood and shouted at Brian outside Home Farm while Jenny Darling tried to button up her Jaeger. They managed to shake him off eventually and back the Range Rover out, but he ran alongside, tapping on their window, shouting, "Think of the worms! Will no one think of the worms?" He then stood outside in the rain for several hours, waiting for them to come back. They managed to sneak in through the back door, but he climbed in through the cat flap and popped up under their duvet, screaming about soil structures before Brian brained him with a hot water bottle. It was the Grundiversary. Clary gave Eddie some beautiful jade vintage cufflinks. Vintage in this case means came off a dead person. And Eddie gave Clary a shell. He said, "If you hold it to your ear, it'll give you a clue about where we're going." Clary held it up to her ear and heard a lot of hot air that whispered, "To hell in a handcart, Clary love." They went to Barmouth. I've been there. It's permanently blowing a gale, it's bloody freezing, and it whiffs of mackerel. They loved it. Then she sat in the shed while Joe pretended to be a waiter once he'd blown his nose on his sleeve and tucked his pyjamas into his undercrackers. Lillian is already trying to duck out of rehearsals. For goodness sake, could they not come up with some original problems with the village show? I don't know. Someone comes down with Ebola and infects the entire cast. The village hall roof falls in on Robert and Neil. Or how about it just happens eventfully? I mean, sorry. It just happens uneventfully. No big deal. And we don't have to hear about it. After all, we managed to not hear about the party of the century when Fat Paul put his boot through a wall and an entire reconciliation scene between an imprisoned woman and her estranged best friend. But that's fine, because apparently we've got loads of time to listen to a load of ruddy doggerel, offstage whispering, and nonsense about Robert building a fully functioning cruise ship out of three bits of 4x2 and a wind chime. Tom and Krusty are both in the bloody play, which means they'll be snoggerel as well as doggerel. I still don't understand the story of Mother Goose, despite Shambridge's attempts to convince me there is one. So I think Tom will be playing a commitment-phobic man-child with daddy issues, and Krusty will take on the challenging role of a disaffected lesbian. Meanwhile, the Carters are still on for a photo finish. Susan has opted for a buttercup yellow dress with a deep neckline, so with the fake tan, her bazongas will look like two satsumas trapped in a banana skin. Neil refused a manicure, but actually it was Shanice, the manicurist, that refused to do it, as she reckoned it would take a couple of hours to dig down through the pig shit until she got to the Cretaceous lair and find the blackened stumps that Neil laughingly refers to as nails. Alan is so far out of his depth trying to counsel Rob, a Royal Navy submarine couldn't find him. He is trying to use Christian counseling techniques on a man who is the spawn of Satan, and it is simply not going to work. Usha is having Blossom Hill deep cleaned. Tichinob left it in a right mess, custard up the walls, blackened toad in the hole smeared over the light fittings. Alistair went out to Brookfield and told David it was good to catch mastitis early. Really? I'd have thought it'd be ideal not to catch mastitis at all, but then I'm not a cow most of the time. While he was there, he managed to drop Toby right in the cart by telling David about Toby's hooch operation. David went all heavy father, threatened to throw the orphans out into the snow. This will inevitably mean Pip is married to Toby by Christmas. Toby's only defence for what he was doing was, well, I haven't managed to sell any yet, so not only is he a crook, he's a shambles of a crook. Toby is going to surprise you one day, Dad, said Pip. Yes, you will wake up one morning and find Brookfield on fire with Toby dressed as a gigantic goose standing on top of the smoking ruins, bottle of dead dog gin in his hand, announcing that he's joined Adam's crusade and is going to live in an underground commune with him where they'll live as worms. Good luck to them. The way 2016 is going, that would not even be surprising. The end.
Ooh, I enjoyed that this week. Good, well done, Freeman.
Thank you very much, Royfield.
You know, you talked about a shambles.
Yes.
It reminded me of the group Baby Shambles. Do you remember Beat Tockerty?
Oh, yes. Mm. He was a bit...
He was all over the place, wasn't he?
He was. Is he dead yet? No, he's not, is he?
No, he's not dead.
Amazing how many people have died and he's still alive.
True. Very true. But that wasn't where I was wanting to go with this. In the spirit of shameless self-promotion, I just wanted to tell good listeners of Dumpty Dum that I'm doing a little bit of a podcast, not a big podcast, just a little one where I talk to nice people for 15 minutes called Friday 15. And on it, Emily Baker, who's somewhat of a fan of Dumpty Dum, she's a songstress, don't you know, Lucy? She lives down in Brighton, and she did her first big gig with him from Baby Shambles.
Oh, really?
She went to school with him. She said he was good at football, good at chess, and good with the ladies. And yeah, and in 2009,
that's a bit before the smack, then, won't it?
No, I think this is, yes, that was pre-smack. But then they did their gig together at the Hackney Empire post-smack, probably in the middle of the smack, actually.
Wow.
But anyway, so. If anybody wants to go and listen to her, she's rather lovely, very dry sense of humour, and some of her musical selection. It's called Friday 15, and it's on iTunes. There you go. Anyway, back to the Archers. You know what I realised last week? And I have thought about this before, Lucy. The Archers, it's fundamentally anniversaries, remembrance and rituals, isn't it? It is.
Yes.
Because on no
other... But it has to be, because that's how you get people together. Otherwise, you just you'd have a program made up of 20 minutes of people texting each other, and that wouldn't be very interesting, would it?
Well, you've got a point, but that's not the whole point, I don't think, because there have been long-running continuous dramas, not as old as The Archers, but let's say Corrie. Mm-hmm. Each year, they don't say, "Right, this is Emily Emily Bishop's long gone, Rita." They don't say this is Rita's birthday, September 13th, do they?
Yeah,
they don't. No, this is the only continuous drama where every year, everybody, just about every, the older characters anyway, not necessarily the younger ones, their birth dates actually do get honoured.
Yes.
You know, and then stir it up Sunday. Come on,
not
please.
Stir it up, stir up.
Whatever.
Sunday.
Oh, I was thinking of Bob Marley, ain't I? And his 1973 reggae hit, Stir It Up. But anyway,
wasn't
but yeah.
Christmas puddings.
Sorry?
That wasn't about Christmas puddings, though, was it?
No, it wasn't. No.
No.
I think he's just talking about, you know, the mood, the vibe.
Oh.
Yeah, because he goes, little darling. It's been a long time since I've got you on my mind. Yeah, he's just on about sex, basically. I think he just wants to turn the temperature up. No, it's not about Christmas puddings and getting alcohol into raisins.
Point. Did he mention dried fruit, I noticed, throughout the whole thing?
I'm sure if you went through Bob Marley's back catalogue, there's probably something about dried banana skins in there somewhere. There's got to be. He did a lot of tunes. But you know, this is something which is unique to the Archers, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is actually. I hadn't thought of that.
You know,
I mean, the traditional things like, you know, Harvest Festival, Christmas, Easter, blah, 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 blah. That's all fairly standard for a country drama because a lot of things do, a lot of country life does revolve around stuff like that. But the birthdays, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And anniversaries and all that.
Yeah. And again, and I just thought Eddie and Clary and their 35th wedding anniversary. You know me, I'm a big softie, so I just loved it. But I couldn't tell.
They go to Bournemouth or Barmouth?
I wasn't sure, to be honest with you.
And Bournemouth is in, obviously, the south of England. Mm.
I don't know, Luce.
It might have been easier for them to get to, but if they're near Birmingham, it would only have been about 2.5 hours for them to get to Barmouth. It would have been probably 3 hours to get to Bournemouth. Well, I don't know why I'm worrying, to be honest. I don't care where they went. They seemed to have a nice time, didn't they?
Well, they had a lovely time. And I just thought it would just play kind of pitch perfect, really. But then again, I'm a sentimental old fart. It would make sense if they went to North Wales, because back in the day, Rhyl was the holiday destination of Brummies back in the day. So you did go to North Wales.
And all the Liverpudlians went to Snowdonia.
Did they? I thought Liverpudlians also went to Rhyl as well. Because Snowdonia isn't by the sea, is it?
No, but Conwy, Carnarvon, and all around there on the North Wales coast. Aberyst with lots and lots of liver. I think it was the factory. What was it called? The factory fortnight, when all the factories had their holiday at the same time. The factory was shut down, and there was a fortnight where everybody went somewhere, and lots of people from Liverpool and Birmingham went to North Wales coast.
I went there in 1984 with my mum and dad.
Where to?
Rhyl.
Ah.
Yeah.
Did you go to the Sun Centre?
I can't remember.
And what? Swim in the swimming pool with the wave machine?
No. But what I did do, I think it's probably the first time I could actually go to a bar and, you know, without my dad. In other words, I wasn't, you know, I was a kid, but I wasn't a kid type of thing.
Yeah.
And me and my older brother went to a couple of bars, and this ridiculously attractive woman, Luce, come up to me, and we were chatting. I don't know what the hell to say or do. I'm like 15 and she was like 21, and she ended it by saying she's gonna go skinny dipping, don't want to go. And I said I think I need to go home now. Lucy, I've regretted that every day of my life. I got out there, my brother like punched me. What's the matter with you? Happy days in Rhyl. Yeah, it was the year of Frank Goes to Hollywood and Relax.
I'm supposed to talk to adults, I don't know.
She was so lovely. Oh, God. What the hell she doing talking to a little spotty 15-year-old boy like me? Heaven only knows. But anyway, shall we go to the caller in?
Brave woman, if she's going skinny dipping in Rhyl.
Listen, I know.
Honestly, Royfield, if you had gone in, they'd have retracted and you'd never have found them again. they'd be mistaken for your tonsils that have gone so far inside.
Right, now we've finished talking about my shrunken gonads. Shall we go and listen to the caller inners that they've got to say?
Not at all shrunken gonads, can we just say, because they seem to be a bit of a leap. Well, at no point did we just dismiss Yokel Bear as a shrunken gonad. Can we just be clear?
I tell you what, talking about shrunken gonads, right?
Yeah.
I've got to say thank you to somebody.
Really?
Because
okay.
I really do. Helen O'Neill sent me a most excellent link from Marvelous Maps. Now, she's using my hashtag, which I have invented all by myself with my very own brain, called hashtag map porn. And Lucy, it's a map of the world, but guess what it has?
I don't know.
Rude place names, and they're all real. They're all real. Every last one of them. Here's one for you. Guess where Bum Bum Island is? Malaysia is the answer, right?
I just found it.
Yeah. Now you can visit two towns called Ars in Indonesia.
Knobhead in Antarctica.
It's all there. So, Helen, what a genius find. And yes, so marvellousmaps.com. I think that'd be the ideal Christmas present for somebody.
I am. I'm getting that for Phil. He'd love that.
Mm. There's a place called Wind Passing in Austria.
Poop! There's somewhere called Poop in Mexico.
Don't worry, folks. If you can't be fussed to think of the to write down this URL, it will be on our Facebook and on our Twitter feed, because we are children like that. We are children like that. So thank you, Helen O'Neill. Oh, we like this. Shitten Creek. Shitten Creek. That's in Oregon. Oh, we like this.
Sorry, I can't stop looking at this now. It's incredible.
No.
Right. Sorry. There's bollock in the Philippines.
Yes. Fanny Mountain in Alaska. Right. Now, Lucy, we need to compose ourselves and actually remember that we do have an august duty to perform, which is caller inners.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Yes, Yokel Bear.
Shittagoo Lake.
Well, I got a brand new combine officer and I'll give you the key.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. It's Yokel Bear here calling from the what's been quite damp hills of Yokelshire. It's been quite damp this week down here. I'm bored. Bored. And I'll tell you what I'm bored with. Bored with Rob. Bored with that whole post-trial Rob storyline. There's two reasons. One, I think, probably unintentionally, but I think the scripts are making his character change from a really horrific abuser into more of a two-dimensional pantomime character. I mean, just some of the unrelenting kind of, I'm just going to be evil, just not coming, it's coming across like a pantomime character now. It's one step away from kind of, you know, ooh, he's behind you. The other thing is that I don't think it's very real. This is a small rural community, and believe me, I know small rural communities. He would have got run out of town. There's no way there would have been all this kind of uptight kind of, oh, well, we can't say anything. Oh, well, just ignore him. No, he wouldn't have got served in the pub. And probably somebody would have had a quiet word with him saying, look, mate, if you want to keep your legs, you might want to move on. So it just doesn't feel real to me. And I'm worried that he's just turned into a pantomime character. So I wish it would just end. I wish they'd just find a way that they can just get rid of him. I mean, God, I mean, look at other soaps. They've done, you know, things to get rid of people. Hey, what about Dynasty? Didn't they have Fallon? That's Fallon from Dynasty, not Fallon from Ambridge. Didn't they have her abducted by aliens? Maybe that's what could happen here. You know, why not, eh? So, no, I'm just bored with it. It just doesn't feel real. And to be honest with you, it's just really annoying me now. He's annoying me. The plot line's annoy me. Please, script writers, end it soon. Okay, that's me done. Bye.
I agree. Hello, William wants... Oh, you want some more paper? It's okay. We'll let it shout. Don't worry. Noise is off from William. Squeaky door. I agree. But yes, he's not behaving true to form at the minute. And I also think that you're right. He wouldn't... Two things are wrong. I agree. He would have been beaten up before. He would have been beaten up by anybody that had anything to do with Helen. So Tom would have pushed his face in, and probably Eddie Grundy would after he'd... Edward would. Blimey, that's difficult. Ed Grundy would have punched Rob after Rob had go at Emma.
Yeah. What didn't make sense was he had... Remember, Ed actually the week afterwards... was with him in the pub and Rob wanted to buy him a drink, and Ed didn't even say, you know what, you got a thin cheek, because the way they spoke to my wife last week.
He just got all uncomfortable and went, oh no, it's all right, it's all right. Yeah, no, that's rubbish. I mean, I know that Ed has to I suppose you could say his sort of financial security is in Rob's hands in terms of the estate work. But Ed is a passionate bloke. When he loses it, he really does. I mean, he's happy to kind of, you know, half kill his own brother. So he's not gonna pause to have a go at somebody who's an employer. And he just, yeah, that's arrogant nonsense.
And I think that's been thrown into sharp relief, really, because Tony did visit Lillian this week, didn't he? And actually talk about the fact that that Tony knows that Lillian's having an affair with Justin, but that actually Justin's an arse. Why the hell did he employ Rob?
Yeah,
you know, he raped and abused his daughter.
And also, I don't think that when that horrible, horrible scene when Rob was holding little Giddy Jack in the tea room and Giddy Jack was screaming his head off and Rob was just completely seemed to be oblivious, not Rob. I don't think Rob would be oblivious. But when narcissists, when children don't like them or babies don't like them or people don't like them, they say it. They never think the fault is with them. They will look around for someone else to blame. And he would have said, Helen's doing something to him. Helen is making him uncomfortable. She's feeding him too much. She's not feeding him enough. She's upsetting him. He's because he's got a hysterical mother. That's why he's not very happy. He's got a neurotic mother, blah, blah, blah. He wouldn't just completely ignore it because narcissistic people like to feel that everybody is happy when they're with them because that's how they know that they've got control of the situation.
Mm. You come to that conclusion because of the rather excellent psychologist report.
What conclusion?
And I more can understand like your conclusions as to narcissistic personality disorder because that's literally verbatim what was said in that report.
And everybody saying, we've been saying for ages, haven't we, that he's
Yeah. But now it's been backed up by, you know, I think Kerry Davis has obviously been listening to you on this very same podcast. Haven't you, Kerry?
I don't think it's that way round, actually. But yes, no, it was very good to hear that the psychologist wasn't taken in by him for a second and entirely predictable that Rob would dismiss it completely. One of the amusing things that gets people with narcissistic personality, one of the supposed in the psychological literature, psychiatric literature, they say antidepressants work on them occasionally because they stop the anxiety, which is part of the a contributory factor, but also group therapy. And can you imagine a group of narcissistic personality disorder people all sitting in a room together arguing, trying to dominate and telling each other that the other one was stupid and, you know, what they all ought to do is this, you know, it's very funny. But yes, I cannot imagine that that works for a second. But there we go.
Is that what Trump needs?
Oh, God, let's not even go into what Trump needs. We've got to go and do Christine the Globetrotter now.
Oh, yes, please. Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike.
Hello, Royfield. Hello, Lucy. Hello, all fellow dum-de-dummers. This is Christine calling in again. I spoke to you a few weeks ago about my husband, who I discovered had been secretly listening to The Archers for over 10 years. Lucy expressed surprise about how he could possibly have done that. Well, he started listening when he was travelling home from work in the evening, so he would listen on his own in the car between 7 and 7.15, and then amazingly they invented these wonderful things called podcasts, which meant he could download them and listen to them wherever I wasn't around, so I had no idea he was listening. And he did just come and tell me that he had been a secret listener with all the excitement of Rob stabbing, so that we could actually talk about what was going on in the Archers. As for our trip, we set off in April 2015, heading east across Europe, got as far as Belgrade in Serbia, where I fell off, broke my arm and had to go back home for 5 months to recover and get fit enough to set off again. We then flew to New Zealand, where it was somewhat warmer than Eastern Europe would have been in November. Spent 3 months cycling in New Zealand, 2 months cycling from Sydney to Melbourne in Australia, 2 months cycling around Japan, and then flew to Berlin and spent a few weeks cycling back to the UK from Berlin. We had a few weeks doing family things in the UK, and that's where I spoke to you from before. Since then, we've cruised across the Atlantic with our bikes to Florida and are now heading up the Florida coast, and we're now going to turn eastwards and head towards Houston in Texas. We only have intermittent Wi-Fi, but we're managing to keep up with the Archers as we go, and I'm restricting myself to one episode a day. So having missed a few cruising across the Atlantic, I'm a little way behind, but I'm thoroughly enjoying it at the moment. Anyway, greetings to you all. Follow us if you can. We are at christineandstephen.co.uk. Thank you. Bye.
So she's explained how her husband was a secret listener of a decade. I like the fact that it was Rob Stabbing that
you
was just...
You can't have a marriage.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Based
that's not
on
based
such
on the
deceit,
surely.
Can you hide in such major things? I'm worried about your marriage, Christine.
Perfect truth.
I'm worried.
Look, I think if they've managed to cycle round Japan together, I'm not sure the Archers is going to split them up.
That's true. She did bust her arm as well, and that you know, into the
yeah,
into the bargain,
that must have been a really bad break if she was off for 5 months. Where was it? She fell off. I can't remember.
I don't know.
Oh, in Eastern Europe somewhere, wasn't it?
And then I think she got if we look at our rude map for a suitable comic answer.
So Houston next. Excellent. Well, good luck with that. And I'm very impressed at your dedication to listening a little bit every day.
Wait a minute. Yeah. She's off to Houston?
Yes.
Houston? Really?
Yes.
You know what, Luce? This is the reason why Tractor is such a great idea. Because we've got, guess how many in our little Houston cluster? Yeah, well, I'll tell you two.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, two.
Two?
Yeah.
Okay.
Heidi Miller and Andrea Melling. So they could actually hook up. So I suggest, Christine, what you and your hubby do, right, and hopefully you listen to this before you get to Houston, right, is you go onto the Twitters and go message them, and they can hook up, and you know what they can all do? A dum-de-dum
together. Yes, because we've run out, so hurry up. Get peddling, Christine. Faster.
Exactly.
Got to get there now, by next week. Come on, chop.
Is it time for our next caller, who I violently disagree with?
It is.
Great.
You make me spit my tea out then.
Hey baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. mercy.
Greetings, Lucy, Royfield, Milliabelle, and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here, wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Maybe it was all that Grundy turkey mixed with the Fairbrother gin, but my head is spinning with all the odd choices the scriptwriters have been making of late. The week started out on track with the psychologist's report on Rob. Without going into detail, the young doctor's summary seemed to be right on target, and judges in custody cases almost always take and use them at face value. After all, the psychologist is the expert. Sorry to inform you of that, Rob. Then Rob tries to blackmail Lillian, or was it Justin, on the evidence of a scarf. Why didn't Lillian just go to Justin and tell him what was going on and get Rob in hot water? And she continued to be panicked and morose in equal doses the rest of the week. Not very Lillian-like. So is the Lillian-Justin relationship in trouble? Will it soon be time for Lucy and I and others to say, I told you so to Royfield? It was never a good idea for Lillian to get involved with Justin. And after last week's accurate analysis of Justin by Royfield, perhaps he will finally agree as well. Next, Brian and Adam. As has been noted, why the sudden turn from Brian being lukewarmly supportive of Adam's endeavor to being hostile? It doesn't make sense, but I guess we're returning to old conflict-ridden territory between the two. And Pip, you're not going to get the support you need from your, oh, where am I? I guess I am in a bar, boyfriend. Speaking of the Topester, are we really supposed to believe that he can suddenly conjure up a successful business from a homemade still? Fortunately, Toby and Pip got some home truths from David at the end of the week, especially when he advised the pair to read the law regarding said homemade stills. And Pip did express some surprise upon hearing that news. I think we're seeing some fraying of the strands that bind that lust-filled relationship. Does that mean another I told you so for Royfield from Lucy? We don't want to get our friend Royfield on the defensive, so it's best to end now. Talk to you all soon.
Hmm. Yes, why do you violently disagree with Witherspoon? Because he said that you got it wrong.
No, I haven't got it wrong at all. Now, far be it from me, Mr. Witherspoon, to pull you up on the detail of actually what I said. I never once said that Toby was right for Pip. I said Toby is in love with Pip. And I also qualified
it. Is he?
No, he is. Now. No, he is. And I also said he is. I says in Toby's world, how he understands love, he is. The definition of Toby being committed to somebody is the fact he's not fooling around with anybody else. And Toby is not. Toby is an ass. I've always said that. However, is Toby good for Pip? No, never said that he was. All I said was, vis-a-vis him and commitment, he's committed to Pip in terms of he's not fooling around. Is he committed to her financially? Nope. You know, is he committed to her emotionally? Probably not, because he can only think of himself. However, in terms of fidelity, as far as Toby's concerned, he's in love because he's not shagging anybody else. Now, that's number one. Number two, Justin and my Lillian. Now, I will concede half a point here, Mr. Witherspoon, because I very clearly said, let Lillian have her fun. Justin is
obviously... Well, she's had it, and it didn't last very long.
And that Justin is into her. Now, I think we all realise now that Justin is an evil, manipulative bastard. And he's got and basically him being with Lillian is to have the good grace and the inside track on the village and have Lillian to do all of his PR for him. And then, with the other hand, he has the most evil git in the village to be the blunt hand of his evilness. You know, so I will concede I was hoodwinked there, but I think we all were, really, with all due respect. So I can't have you go, no, about that. Because I think half of that, half of that finger wagging that people were doing about our Lillian was the fact that, you know, it was Justin and his extramarital goings on, which I just thought, you know what, maybe I'm just a libertine or something. I just thought, you know what, doesn't matter. Let them have their fun, because he obviously has some, in inverted commas, relationship with his missus back down in London or wherever the hell she's supposed to live. I can't remember. However, yes, I will concede that Justin Elliott and Lillian is not a great idea, and Lillian needs to extricate herself out of that as soon as possible. However, he's going to dangle money, frocks, meals and all sorts in front of her to keep her on side for the time being, and she's going to have some massive conflict sometime soon when she realises actually what's going on. So there you go. I was a bit wrong about that. Well, but weren't we all? However, I was still right about Pip and Toby. But Toby's always been an arse. So there.
Well, I can't argue with that, although I'd like to.
Well, you can argue. You'd just probably just be wrong, though.
No. He doesn't. He does not have any affection for Pip whatsoever. He needs somewhere to stay. He's vaguely interested. She's, as I said in the monologue, she's a cash machine with a fanny. She puts up with him. He's kind of been stung a bit by her family's rejection of him.
You are arguing, aren't you? You just says you can't argue with that. And then you
you said, well,
argue.
I could, so I am. He doesn't. He would drop her like a hot potato if somebody more interesting came along, which is what will happen shortly. Something quite interesting. Did you notice kind of a few little little Rob traits there?
Go on.
I mean, nowhere near. We're not 3 days into Rob country at all, but a few little bastardy traits like, oh, don't worry, it will all be, just belittling her distress about the Herbal Lays being cancelled and Bob Gracie being cancelled and all that. Oh, you're just getting hysterical. Don't worry.
He's incredibly self-centred, and he can't think of, the world outside of him. But with all due respect, and I can't remember who said it last week, right, and then there is some chatter about this on the Dumpty Dum forum, which you can go to by going to dumptydum.com/forum, everybody. but what's the difference fundamentally between Linda and Rob? Because Linda is a bully.
Yeah.
So, and I think my point of bringing that up is to say that if you look hard enough, I think you can see various elements of Rob in just about everybody to a very small degree. The fact of the matter is that narcissistic personality disorder is a whole kind of compendium of kind of character traits, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
And fundamentally, we're all on a spectrum. It's just that most of us are to the healthy side of that spectrum for the most part. But anyway, so Toby's not a sociopath in the way that Rob is, you know. However, what he is somewhat of a blunderbuss, and he thinks because I am a good guy and he genuinely believes that he can do no harm. And so he doesn't realise the damage that he does to people, and he doesn't realise how much he actually takes advantage of them as well.
Yeah.
I don't think that he's saying, right, I've got nowhere to stop, I need to be there with Pip. However, his actions would lead anyone to that conclusion, because in effect that's actually what's happening, but it's not a thought out plan in that regard. It's a case of he's found somebody he actually quite likes.
So it's not calculated, it's just
calculated, but he's unwittingly he's using the whole, well, I'm going into business now, because he doesn't have to worry about rent. So he doesn't have a financial outlay. So it's a
case, he does now, doesn't he? Now David's chucked him out.
Well, and this is a thing, right? Now, Luce, we know that the man's an arse. Didn't you think that's a little bit OTT of David, the way that he...
But David does get carried away with things. He does say stupid things. And the trouble is, what he's doing is he's backing her into a corner, and she's not going to be able to say... With I think you've got to give somebody a way out, haven't you? A graceful way out. And if you shut that graceful way out to them, then they just get more and more defensive and they dig in harder. And she'll go and move in with him somewhere else. He's hoping that she's going to make the sensible decision and, choose family over Toby. But because of the way he's treating her and this kind of Victorian dad roaring in, shouting the, you know, bashing the door and shouting the odds, she's just going to push back and actually go. He's driving her more into Toby than the other way around. Mm.
Well, I think the way that they've set this up is great, because even though she's very obviously having those doubts about Toby, she still actually does, you know, she's still in love with the guy at the same time. So, yes, I think
I'm not even sure she's in love with him. I think she's just stubborn. And I think she won't give in now and admit that she's made a mistake. Because she's had to be humiliated so often. You know, she got this massive public humiliation with Jude, who everybody could see was an absolute twat. And, you know, everybody in the world said to her, for God, get rid of him, he's awful, you know.
Luce.
Yeah.
I think you need to remind our newer listeners about the whole Pip and Jude thing. How did it end
Jude
up?
Was, he was her lecturer, wasn't he?
Mm.
And he was a lot older than her. He was sort of around, not as old as, it was sort of about sort of 30s or something. He had a very busy life without her and just kind of used her as a sort of a hanger-on every time he felt like it. And I can't remember how it ended up. He just leave her?
You know, when I said to you, can you just remind everybody how they ended?
Because I couldn't remember. I just remember the huge surge of relief
Cosmo.
When he finally cleared off.
Cosmo, we need Cosmo on this one. That or a good Google search will tell us. But feel free, somebody, next week to call in and remind us exactly how Jude exited stage left from the Archers, please. You're looking now, aren't you?
I am. It's coming up now. Hang on. Hold the line, caller. Da 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 da. Oh, that's right. Yes, he said that he wanted to go on a tour of Europe with her, and that she was going to go with him, wasn't she? She was going to chuck in, do a gap year, go around Europe with him. Oh no, it'll be really, really great, Dad. I'll get to go to lots of different places. Blah blah blah. And then he just sort of went without her. She rang him and found out that she was already at the airport. He just went.
Now I remember.
And then
yes.
She realised what a knob he was. But it was Auntie Elizabeth who sorted her out, because a very similar thing had happened to Auntie Elizabeth with her ex-boyfriend.
The Canadian.
Fraser. No, the Canadian was Simon, who was going out, who was married to Debbie Aldridge.
Crumbs. Good old days of the Archers, eh?
I know. All these people.
Mm.
These people. Yes, so he wasn't true at all. But he was richer than her. He was very well off.
She had a boyfriend at college, though. That's who we're getting him mixed up with, aren't we? Then there was the other guy who she went out with at college.
No, there was the one who owned a farm near her, and that was it, Spencer. And that also seemed to be going quite well. And then she decided he was a bit sort of boring, I think. So that sort of fizzled out. There was a disaster with Jude. Then there was Spencer. Then there was Matthew.
Yeah.
Who was very nice, but sort of propinquity. It didn't sort of work out. So, you know. But because of all the sticks she got over Jude, and because she doesn't take constructive criticism very well, does she? She can't with any criticism, really. She kind of flies into, no, I am right about anything, whether it's a new idea she's had for the business or defending her friends or her decision or whatever. Yes, I think they've just absolutely backed her into a corner with this Toby business. She's trying to prove, look, I can hang on to a bloke. And if David keeps doing things like he's doing, he's going to force her into a situation where she is moving in with Toby somewhere else, paying rent for both of them and supporting him, when actually in her heart of hearts she doesn't want to. She's just too proud to say, I've cocked this up and I've made a terrible mistake. But Rex will rescue her anyway.
I do hope not. I really do hope not. Anyway, so are we just about done with Witherspoon?
Yeah, I've just got to do the we've had emails. Two emails.
Ooh, yes, smashing.
Miss Bubbles on the Twitters. She's in Sydney. I don't know if she's on our map, but anyway, she's in Sydney. She said, I wanted to comment on the progress of Pip and Toby. Pip appears to be in some sort of denial about what a dick Toby really is. He is exactly as David described, a freeloader who only has time to work on vanity projects. Pip cannot see this. In the first episode of this week, we had Rob's site report read out in between Toby and Pip scenes. And we saw Toby displaying some of the same characteristics that Rob has. Pip is certainly the same sort of denial that Helen had early in her relationship with Rob. But that was the same thing, you see. Family saying, oh, no, you can't. You can't be with him because he's married. And it drove her more. It pushed her more towards him. If they'd all just sort of backed off a bit, maybe things would have been different. But I don't know with Helen. I think she would have gone there anyway. Tony provides no emotional support to Pip and just wants her to do things for him. Perhaps Helen needs to have a talk with Pip. Yes. I loved the anniversary episode. We all needed that. And then she ends, Royfield, with the words, as for Lillian and Justin, I said it was a bad idea. So, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And next person that he mailed in is Lizzie. She said, no one has mentioned this at all. I feel I must just ask, did no one else find the fact that the guy on Bonfire Night had the Joker mask for a head funny? I thought this was the Village/scriptwriter's way of burning an effigy of Rob, which I found pretty satisfying. Maybe you mentioned it and I missed it, but it's been bugging me because I quite enjoyed it. And Nick's explained why they had that odd scene in the pub on Halloween. Wouldn't it be great, by the way, in Rob and the Panto, wouldn't it be great if instead of the villain being booed, the whole audience turned and booed him out of the hall when he came in? But someone did mention it because Johnny said, our message is brilliant. He really liked it, didn't he? He said, I thought that was really good. I really liked the effigy. Tony, I thought that was funny. So he noticed it, but I agree, not many other people sort of commented on it particularly, but it was definitely noticed, and it was definitely a deliberate thing.
Yes, that it was definitely a thing.
It was supposed to be Rob. Yeah,
right.
The end of the tweets.
Now it's the part of the show where people just like skip about three skips on their podcast catcher of choice. But no, we have different messages before we get on to Millie Bell this week. It's the advertisement bit. In an uncertain world, there is always music which can be listened to in good company. Welcome to Friday 15, the show where we speak to friends and interesting people to the backdrop of great tunes and allocate 15 minutes to both.
I did a load of gigs. I was doing a load of gigs and going up to London, and I found one gig that I particularly liked doing over in Shepherd's Bush. And it was in an old, you know those old, like, toilets that you go downstairs?
I know exactly where you mean. It's in Shepherd's Bush Green, and you walk down the steps. Yeah. They used to have a really good comedy night there. See you next week, next Friday, for 15 minutes of chat and 15 minutes of music. We are playing out to Subtract, and this is a fantastic cover of Wildfire by Jenny.
G'day everyone, it's been a busy day for me today. I've been making my sweet mincemeat, my sweet vegetarian mincemeat, and I settled down with a glass of wine and suddenly realised I hadn't done my Dumpty Dum. So I have shot back upstairs and here I am talking to you. On our forum, the psych report was started by none other than our fabulous Witherspoon. Janice Pope was asking why she couldn't pin herself on Tractor, and Katie King started a discussion about Sarah Coward, which we'll also talk about in a moment. On our Facebook page, which is just growing and growing, We talked about who's the baddest of the baddies, Rob, Justin, or maybe even Toby, and it looks as though you all had an opinion on this. Rachel Kennedy said Rob is beyond bad. Justin isn't far behind. Toby is just a twat. But Brian needs to be on the list as he seems quite content to ruin the land for future generations, all in the name of more profit. Good point, Rachel. Janice Pope said, as it's Panto season, the one who would make me jump the most is the audience. If the audience shouted, he's behind you, is Rob. Sarah Wood says, nobody comes close to Rob in the bad mistake, surely. Just hearing his voice makes my chest tighten even now. Liz Villalobos, when Toby starts working on the new vet, breaking Pip's heart, he'll be the ultimate bad. And nice plot prediction there, Liz. And Martin van der Heuvel said, Dr. Locke, the widow stalker, is a baddie too. A very quiet one. Those are the worst. A lot more in that vein, so if you'd like to see what others had to say, jump on the Facebook page. We also wondered, would Rob be so brave as to try to blackmail Justin via Lillian? I have to say that storyline is doing my head in at the moment. Julie Atkinson said, yes, he would, but perhaps Lillian and Justin should call his bluff. Lillian works for Justin and she owns the Dower House, so it is perfectly acceptable that she would be there. It's only a scarf. Not like Rob found her knickers on the floor. Front it out, Lillian, and make sure Justin knows that Rob has been sniffing around looking to blackmail them both. Maybe then Justin will give Rob a boot. Bravery doesn't come into it, says Fiona Siobhan Powell. In Rob's mind, he's justified in whatever he does, and even the oldest oak tree must bend to his will. It won't, though, and nor will Lillian. Well, I hope you're right there. Connie Nolan says, I hope Lillian does tell Justin about the encounter, because if she doesn't, she is feeding Rob's power ego. That man has so many enemies now that the plot is resembling Murder on the Orient Express. Angela Rowney said, sorry, I've stopped listening. It's getting too like EastEnders, which I can't stand. There will be bodies under the pub soon. Well, that's something for us all to look forward to. We also took time to discuss some plot predictions for Rob. Is he going to be unravelling? Is he getting stronger? Getting ready to do something unspeakable? There are a lot of plot predictions. I'll just read you a couple, but I really encourage you to go and have a look at these on Facebook. We started with Amy Gilbert says, the end should be Rob getting arrested. Before that happens, I reckon he's going to be pushed to breaking point. I reckon after the next family court hearing, when he realises that he's not going to get custody of either of the boys, that's when he'll be at his most dangerous. Did anyone else find the Rob Allen scene last night just a tad awkward to listen to? I must say, my personal opinion is I found Alan was starting to get there and to try to get Rob to see reason, but I also found it very odd that Rob had even gone there, so that confused the hell out of me, I think. Anthony Ogden said, I posted it elsewhere, but I'm rather hoping that Rob will be sacrificed to the no-till farming gods as a result of an agricultural accident when Adam mulches him across the fields with his precious drill. The resulting input will result in a bountiful crop in the new year, and Adam's no-till methods will be hailed as a success, and all will be well in the Archer's world again. Lovely idea. We also went on to discuss more on the Lillian issue, because that kept recurring during the week, so I encourage you to get on for that. And also, we have put up a link for the to Sarah Coward's Smile page. I'm sure that Royfield and Lucy are going to talk about this, so I won't, but it's a very sad time for some of us, and if you would like to smile, you can jump on there and see what Sarah has to say. Facebook, till then, hooroo.
Thank you, Millie Bell. As always, that was tip-top and most definitely buttonhole. Lucy Freeman.
Yep.
Have you got some awesome tweets for us?
I have. Quite a few.
How many of those awesome tweets are middling to awesome?
Well, I think they're all awesome.
Really? Crumbs, I tell you what. I'm bracing myself then.
Rab T Dog was describing... I think they were describing... Oh, they were describing Brian. And Rab T Dog described Brian as an entitled penis coated in carcinogenic pesticide. Just you got me at entitled penis, really. I mean, that was just great. Sheila Snowden was talking about unresolved storyline. She said, I do wish they would resolve the Stefan storyline while there are still some of us old enough to remember him. I agree, Sheila. We're still going to be talking about this in 2070, saying, did they ever find out about the culvert? Son of a Migrant had a chat with Toby and Pip. They had Pip saying, it's Toby that I want to be with, Toby from afar. Bye! Yes, that is exactly what's going to happen. And then we had, they were talking about the finding the scarf at the Dower House. And Davy Berg said, what?
I forgot about that. Go on, do the tweet.
Yeah, David Berg said yes, but Rob found Lillian's scarf stuck in the zip of Justin's flies. That made me laugh.
Luce, just before we go on, because I was going to mention this, and then, I don't know, we got talking about rude place names on maps or something or another, or my shrunken gonads, I can't remember. But I was just dumbfounded. So the whole scarf thing was an utter contrivance, so that Rob has something over Lillian, you know, that she's...
But why wouldn't Lillian just go straight to Justin and say, this arsehole has found my scarf?
Well, number one is that. But where the heck could Rob have been in the Dower House that Lillian could not have legitimately been for him to see that scarf? Did he walk into their bedroom?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not like he found a G-string slung over the light fitting, was it?
Exactly. Mm. It's a case of, it's Lillian's house. Lillian does does Justin's PR. She's every reason underneath the sun to leave a scarf there.
Yeah, no, and it's biggie. A scarf. It's a scarf. It's not like it's anything more exciting. It's not a Wonder Bra or anything.
And you know what? Lillian is a smart woman. She could think on her feet. So I just found
just
the whole thing
completely.
Totally bizarre. Just the way that Tony, who I don't believe can actually think on his feet, went, oh, yeah, I knew about that, Rob. No big deal. Right? They got the two characters completely the wrong way around
Exactly. Lillian would have gone, yes, it's my scarf, darling. Why? What?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. You know, what business is it of yours about the fact that I'm at the house that I own and that Justin is renting from me? But anyway, I just, you know.
I know.
If somebody can explain that to me.
Well, I don't think Twitter can, because there was a lot of tweets about that going, hey, what? Have I missed something? Everyone was thinking they'd missed something, you know, that there was some vital bit that they'd overlooked. John 21.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
As is the Archer's bookie, which I quite like. He's got Next Affair in Ambridge, Alistair Newvet, 2-1, Dr. Cock, Lizzie and Shula, 10-1, Adam / anyone, 9-4 on, and Brian / Jolene, 100-1. So place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. Nick 333 and out said, what odds on Newvet / Roy of the Rotors? There has to be some reason for getting him back out there, wherever there is. Roy of the Rotors. That is genius. I love that.
It is. That is very good.
The BBC The Archers feed. Everyone laughed when on Twitter. You can know, you can hear Twitter laughing. Well, I can. When Alistair said, "Oh, there aren't many burglaries in Ambridge," you think, it's quite a lot of violent crime, but not that many burglaries. And CSI Ambridge said, "Yes, indeed, some of us are still having sleepless nights about that bunting." I could never say this. Seared Pontier said, "If I were Usha, I would pay the local authority to rename the cottage, although I'd veto Dunn stabbing." And Christine Adgo wins Tweet of the Week with "Pip and Toby move in and call it Blossom Steel Cottage." Perfect.
Yay. Well done.
Very good.
Well
there
done.
There we go.
Well done. Ooh, you know what? I feel that's been a rather nice dum-dum this week.
It has. It's been a rather nice week.
Well, it's better than last week.
I don't think I'm going to have an affair with the vet.
It just feels a little bit too signposted. Though yeah. I'm liking her in that I can absolutely tell who she is straight away.
Yes, I know.
There is no, is that this person or is that that person? You go, right, that is the Asian Scottish vet. Got it. Right, folks.
Maybe there should be special editions of The Archers for when you're really tired. So that they'll, and a little voice will cut in, like Susan Ray or something, saying, "The next voice you'll hear will be the vet." And then, so that you know what's going on. This one is not Toby, it's Rex. John 21, if you're taking bets, I'm 20 quid on Lizzie and Dr. Cock, please.
Right. Awesome. Do we condone betting on this show?
I do. I condone most things.
Oh, fair enough. It's good to know. Dumbdumb.com, go there, got a shop, got a forum. Oh, and pin yourself to Tractor. Now, I know somebody on the forum says they're having some problems pinning themselves to Tractor. I will attend to that message forthwith as soon as I put down my Skype to Lucy. So go there. It's got awesome stuff on there. And we do have, folks, a whole raft of people to thank at the very end of the show, because it looks like our hacking from Azerbaijan is kind of behind us. But we're just going to go over the whole list of people who donated to the cause and thank you all. But that will be at the very end of the show. Now, people, there are a couple of ways you can help to keep our show on the road. And I know we've got a new Patreon person today, but we'll thank all our Patreons next week. You can donate by hitting the donate button on our website. Or you can go to patreon.com and you can go and donate $2 a show, which is probably worth about 50 quid the way the pound's falling. but anyway, Brexit, you Brexiteers, your fault, but whatever. Now, folks, remember, there are a couple of ways you can get in contact with us. You can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on our website, or you can call us on 0203-031-3105 to leave us a telephonic message if you can't work the interwebs. On social media, you can find us where we are at DumDeeDum. Me, I'm at Roy Field. Harriet is at Sambridges.
And I am at Lucy V. Freeman.
On the Book of Face, you can join in the dum-de-dum fun by typing in dum-de-dum. And Millie Bell is queen of all she surveys over there. Now, Lucy, before we do the list, have you got anything you'd like to say to our listeners all around the globe? Workshops you're doing? Any workshops you're...
Oh, yes. Hello, listeners around the globe. It's a bit short notice. On the 1st of December, I am doing a presentation training workshop in King's Cross in London. Starts at 3:30, and I do workshops to help people get over their nerves, to help them project.
Who are you doing that for? Under what auspices, so to speak?
Auspices? Yes. One of our clients, Brand XPR.
Ooh. You move in circles, don't you?
I go round in circles mostly, yes. it's very, it should be funny, it's relaxed, it's not horrible, and no one's going to be picked on. And it just teaches you to get over your nerves and uses a lot of sort of techniques that stand-up comics use to hold the stage. So it doesn't matter whether you're nervous about doing a PowerPoint presentation or whether you're somebody that does speeches to great big auditoria, then come along. It doesn't last very long. It's about an hour and a half, and then we're going to go and have a drink afterwards.
And what's the damage?
It's free.
Good grief. That's great value.
I know. And then free people get... is generally great value. Free is what we're portrayed for, a bargain. Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough, Lucy. Now, folks, this podcast is fundamentally free, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't have a cost. Hey, look at me with me links. As many of you will know, our website was taken down big styly about 6 weeks ago now, 4 weeks ago now, I can't remember exactly when. And we sent out a plea to you so you could help us to A, get the site back up so we could actually pay the techie, and B, that he could put in place the various kind of preventions that so it didn't happen again. Now, we did thank about two-thirds of this list a few weeks back, but because I'm a bit of an arse, I don't actually still have that list. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go through the whole list of people who've donated in the last, I think, 5-6 weeks or so. So some of you are getting a second bite of the cherry in terms of thank yous, but we didn't want to forget some of the people that kind of have donated in the last kind of 3 weeks. So
basically, folks, everybody should be thanked at least once, possibly twice.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, folks, this list is long, so feel free to switch off the podcast when you hear your name. Just zone out. All right. So ready, Lucy?
Yep. Magic at Mungo's.
Victoria Cole.
Alison Johnson.
Amy Louise Gilbert.
Amy Hamilton.
Andy Bent.
Angel Lauder.
Anne Charles.
Amy Ross.
Barbara Wiseman.
Andrew White. Are you going slow on purpose?
You're going slow. I think you're going slow.
I'm not!
Bronwyn Wood.
Cam Chalmers.
Candida Beeching.
Catherine Kavanagh.
Chloe Sastry.
Susan Greblow.
Christopher Reynolds.
Claire Howard.
Catherine Jones.
Claire Steep.
J.H. Bennett.
D.D. Midders.
Diane Stokes.
Douglas Faunt.
Felicity Ann Hope.
Geeta Beecroft.
Glenn Alderman.
Glyn Fullerlove.
Sarah Harding.
Claire Asprey.
Helen Palmer.
Ian Gillespie.
Angela Barnes.
Jacqueline Berto.
James Moores.
Janice Pope.
Jean Rose.
Jahani Dewar.
Jill Abrams.
Jim Irving.
Jim Pickering.
Joanne Smith.
Joe DeBank.
Morgan Johnson.
Jelly.
Shokolinski Dwyer.
Yeah.
Because I'm now doing the red ones. I'm now doing the black ones for some reason.
Jonathan Burrs.
Jennifer Reba.
Patricia Doob.
Carl Azriel.
Kate Unwin.
Kathleen Anstey.
Lorelei.
Lainey Beavers.
Leslie Greaves.
Jay Bahar.
Maggie Wood.
Amanda Hart.
Mary Gillespie.
Jan Mitchell.
Nancy Dickey.
Talia Loeffler.
Who hails from Austria. It's 212 Unpacked Map. Nigel Massey.
Simon Pilgrim.
Paul Room.
Paul Cook.
Pam Shank.
Quentin Bennett.
Rachel Kennedy.
Rachel Tolhurst.
Robert Wilson.
Rose Mario.
RJ Taylor.
Rosie Dearest.
Ruby Nation.
Ruth Frost.
Sarah Woods.
Sarah Bailey.
Sarah Gleason.
Sarah Holland.
Sarah Hides.
Sarah Passingham.
Sarah Evans.
Scott Matthewman.
Sheila Snowden.
Sheila Humphreys.
Jessica Gazelle.
Stephen Fahey.
P.M. Stanworth.
Suzanne Young.
Tracy Shevin.
Valerie Bayliss.
Claire Wayman.
Will Power.
And Will Laura Power. S.
Hurrah! Thank you very much.
That's been awesome. I enjoyed that this week.
Good.
Well done. Okay. How many people?